One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to part two of our conversation with Matt and Laura Slies about the power of paranormal.
When you go to a place, and we'll talk about some different ones, like a place like Waverly Hills, and we'll talk about Madison again here in a moment. But since we're on Waverly Hills, when you go to investigate a place like that, what is the goal with that? Is it just to try and get evidence? Is it the goal to try and help something that's there? Because obviously people go in and out of there all the time with paranormal tourism. And I just kind of wondered, are we turning this into a circus of, you know, people that are really helpless and sad and it's kind of torturous for them? Or is there some good that's coming out of it other than people getting a lot of very interesting evidence?
I think that the spirits that are there, I don't think they view it as a, I think they're there because something's tying them there.
Yeah.
And we're going in there and observing. It depends on what the goal of the team is. I mean, obviously you've got some that want to exploit that and try to, you know, provoke and get evidence and, you know, get reactions and get, you know, get full bodied apparitions and voice, you know, that's one goal. Some places, you know, they tell you, you know, the spirits here, don't cross them over.
Yeah.
So the only thing you can really do is just communicate with them and try to get a story from them.
Sure.
Yeah, I feel like what we try to do, and it's good because 111 has a number of people that are sensitive. And I feel like our biggest goal is to listen, right? To give a voice.
Yeah.
If there's something that we can do to make somebody feel like they're heard, that for me, you know, I don't need to prove anything to anybody. You know, this is what we believe. We've experienced enough to know there's something there. There's some other dimension our spirits go on, whether it's energy or whatever it is. It's not my job to prove that to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
It gives me great pleasure to go in and connect with a spirit and just to let them know they're not forgotten.
Yeah.
That's my goal. I think most of our team feels the same and that they just want to have that connection.
Are places like a Waverly Hills or any of the places we've talked about here so far, do you think that they've become more haunted or more active over the course of the last handful of years with all the investigators going in and out of them and everybody having different styles of doing things? Has it stirred the pot to make these places more active or even more spirits being attracted to them? Or is it just we're measuring an area that sat vacant forever?
We just talked about that last night. You know, we had a discussion about with another group about, you know, all the stuff that's being picked over so much. You know, yeah. Is it residual investigative energy? Is it still the original energy? What is it? I think it's just a mixture of things. And, you know, you're going to see stuff pretty soon where you're going to see ghosts of ghost hunters.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, but then that's a good question. That's one of my big concerns is, you know, what's there and what gets diluted after a while? Because, you know, energy does linger, but as time goes on, energy fades depending on the strength of it.
Yeah.
Right. So, like for example, Matt, I, for whatever reason at, Mansfield, they decided to, they had a death row there, but no executions were ever done, but they decided to bring the electric chair in there and put it under glass.
Lucasville?
Yeah. From Lucasville. Now that, you know, you just supercharged it with something else completely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was very, very hard to walk into that room and see that chair.
So you're getting a lot of mix. I think you hit it on the head. You're getting a lot of mixed match energy. So you got to figure out, you know, what's relevant to the location or what's left behind by somebody else.
I also think that it changes your experience in a location changes with who walks through the door. You know, if you've got a medium who can hear things one time, and then a medium who can see things one time, and then a medium who can feel, you know, if you've got that, it's a different experience each time. And I mean, I don't know how I feel if I agree with the whole idea of energies dissipating, because it feels to me like they're just in a different dimension, and almost like sometimes they can see us just sometimes the way that sometimes we can see them. And I don't know, I can't explain that. So maybe that's one of our goals, is to try to kind of figure out what we're allowed to figure out.
Sure.
What they let us see.
Yeah.
Here, you know?
Yeah. Oftentimes, you know, you hear about people thinking, oh, we need to cross over whoever is there no matter what. And to me, I mean, sometimes I feel like, yeah, there, some probably do want that. But I think sometimes they're just happy where they're at. And it's like,
yeah,
they're not necessarily looking for...
It's not up to us to be the spiritual God.
Yeah.
I will tell you a story. And this kind of relates to this. We were looking... Before we met, Laura liked new things and things like that. You know, brand spanking new. But I kind of like older things.
Like homes and stuff.
She wanted a modern home with all the, you know...
Yeah.
Well, now, since she's been involved in this... You know, her goal is to live in an old creepy house. Our house is not creepy. Our house is not creepy enough.
Uh-huh.
So near the college I went to was this old house built in like the 1800s. When you walk into this thing, it's like out of a horror movie. It's got the winding staircase.
Oh, see, I think it's beautiful.
Oh, it's beautiful. a big room off the you know, I expected, you know, if we move in here, I'm going to see a white shadowy figure walking down the stairway.
The spiral staircase.
Oh. Yeah.
This is your typical hidden passages. This was your typical haunted house.
Yeah.
What Laura found out was she communicated with a spirit in the house.
Yeah.
A little girl. And we did some, and the word doctor kept coming up. Well, it turned out that there was a doctor that lived there back in like the late 1800s, early 1900s.
He had the house built.
Yeah. So we were talking about, we were with the realtor and we're walking around and we're going to put an offer on this thing. And the voice box that we had on said sold. Like, okay, great. We're going to buy it. So we're having lunch thinking, okay, we'll put an offer in. And the realtor said, just called us up and said, it was sold this morning. They just accepted the offer.
But needless to say, I looked that house up the other day and it's sold 4 times in the last 5 years.
Maybe it's not quite the perfect house for everyone.
Probably not.
Is it plumbing or is it spirits?
Yeah.
You decide.
How interesting. Now, did the real estate agent know your proclivities towards the paranormal? Okay, good.
She did it with us quite a few times.
Okay, cool.
It's that affinity thing, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm always drawing in people into my circle of friends that I don't know at the time, but they are interested in the paranormal.
Sure, sure.
But that leads to the point I was making was the fact that I don't think this house was ever paranormally investigated. So yeah. The energy that Laura was getting and popped because it was strong because no one tapped into it before.
Sure. What are your thoughts on locations that, you know, offer, you know, come here, investigate, but they have the clause on there, no passing over the spirits. And I get it because you want to keep your attraction going. But at the same point, like, again, I don't feel like I need to be there. I'm not someone who has the ability to do that by any means. But what if the spirits do and you happen to be the person that has that ability? Are we in some cases just caging in things, you know, for our own gain at this point with some of these places?
I mean, I feel like, and this is a bit controversial, but everyone's entitled to their opinion.
Yeah.
I just don't think people have that ability.
Okay.
And that's my opinion. I feel like that's something that's out of our hands, that we as mortal beings do not have we don't have that power. Like, that's something that's beyond what we are allowed to do. But I also have a different belief system. And so I don't, I don't want to offend anybody who has a different belief system. I respect that completely. But I'm not somebody who believes in heaven and hell. So for me, you know, I feel like if a spirit wants to be at peace, they will. Or if they're looking for something that keeps them connected to this realm, then they have the right to look for it without being, you know, shunned or crossed over or whatever people say they do. Or
yeah.
I don't know. To me, it's still all new, and I'm not saying it. I'll never believe that. But right now, I just don't know that I think that way. And that if the spirit's there and I'm interacting with it, it's because it wants to interact with me. It's not because I'm pulling it in or I'm telling it what to do or where to go or anything like that. I don't think I have that kind of, I don't think anyone has that kind of power.
Now, Tony, check your emails right now because I'm sure you just got flooded.
I know. I respect people who, everyone can feel the way they want to, you know, I don't want to offend people on that. Everyone has a different belief. And nobody knows for sure.
Sure.
So, you know, I am happy to talk to somebody about that. I would never, you know, say, oh, no. That's not who I am. But my belief is that we just don't have that power. Like, our power is to communicate with people in that other dimension or that spirit in that other dimension and not to have the power to get rid of them.
Be a receptor, not a sender.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those things I've never fully understood, those people who talk about doing that. You know, I believe they believe they're doing that. To me, it's hard to understand why we as the living would have that ability.
I don't get that either. That's where I'm coming from. Same thing, you know.
It's like any
type of discipline, any type of hobby, any type of, you know, you've got the people that are supposedly wine connoisseurs that could tell you, oh, I can, this bottle of wine was made from the fifth vine, the third row, and the fourth plant. And to me, it's just, you know, you're entitled to your opinion and if you've got the facts to back it up, but it's just such an open-ended thing with regards to just people's abilities and people's perceptions that, you know, it's there's no absolute, you know, some people think they can, they can't.
And I mean, that's fine that they do, but nobody knows, you know, nobody knows for sure what any of this is. We are taking educated guesses.
Yeah.
But none of us will know that until it's our time to know that, right?
Sure. It makes you wonder if at some point, you joked earlier, we'll be having ghosts of ghost hunters. If at some point the communication will be a little more interesting and not just the same questions over and over. Who are you? Where are you here?
Yeah.
It'll be more like,
I can only hope. Yeah.
If I'm sure the spirits, we talked about this again last night, the spirits, I'm sure they're like, if someone asked me to make a noise one more time, I'm going to.
Oh, I would be making stuff up. It's like, if I were haunting a place and I could know the history of it, I would not say I was me. I'd be like, I'm the ghost of a Civil War soldier or something. Yes. Yes.
Like, much more interesting, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's like my head's missing. You know, I would just be freaking people out. My goal would be to freak people out, you know.
I'm John F. Kennedy, and I'm looking for whoever shot me from that depository. Right.
Wow.
Exactly. Exactly. It's more interesting when you're playing a character like that. But yeah, it certainly is a strange world of what is out there to investigate. With you having your sensitivities and such, has there ever been a location you've gone to, I know you said Waverly Hills was very, very, you know, deep. Was there ever a location, you know, residential, not famous or anything, where it was like, there's something really kind of not good going on here?
She has an aversion to funeral homes.
Really?
Well, it's just because when you walk in, for me, my head, I get an instant headache, and it's almost like migraine type headache. It feels like just, you know, 100 things trying to invade my head. So it's very hard to block it out. And I am able to block it, but it's difficult.
Yeah.
And so I can't concentrate. But I would say the biggest problem I've ever had, believe it or not, was at a Titanic exhibit.
Okay.
I've gone to a few of them, and each time I've gone to them, the same thing happens with the headache. It's like an instant, I can walk through the door and instantly have a headache.
Uh-huh.
And it just intensifies to the point where I've got to get out of there. I try to push through it because to me, it's one of the most amazing stories that's ever been told.
Yeah.
And I kind of long for it. Like, I just want to see everything and read about it and watch stories about it. And when that exhibit is live and I can see and touch things, it's like I'm driven to do it.
Sure.
And, but it is really, really tough. And by the time I am through the whole thing and walk out, my headache goes away instantly. So there's definitely something there. I've been fascinated with it since I was a child. So I've always contemplated the possibility that I was there.
Sure.
In a past life or something, because it's been this interest for me since before I can remember anything.
Yeah.
And Titanic is just, it's an amazing
yeah.
story.
Now,
I don't know why I was always so drawn to it.
My grandmother was, we were at her wake, and it's weird because Laura came up to me and she's like, your grandmother is not happy at the moment. I'm like, what do you mean? She's laying, she's dead. No. I sense her standing in the corner right there, and she is not happy. And I'm like, okay, that was, I didn't know how to respond to that one.
It's interesting. The Titanic thing, I can completely relate. It was before the movie that I was fascinated with it. I was like 3 or 4. I remember watching like the National Geographic, Robert Ballard finding it, and then going to the library and getting every book about it, books that were out before they found it, and just getting every single thing I could on it. And I was obsessed. I have every project in elementary school where it was create something. It was the Titanic or the Titanic sinking. It's kind of morbid. Today,
don't you wonder like where that fascination came from?
I really do. And I got the chance about 15 years ago to see Robert Ballard speak. And he talked about, you know, discovering Titanic and all of the things that he does. And I got to talk to him for a moment, and he signed the book that I got with my allowance money when I was a child and still have. And one of the things he said was, he was so fascinated when he discovered Titanic, and, you know, there was a lot of adults that were interested, but out of nowhere, he was bombarded with children that had this uncanny fascination for Titanic. And it wasn't their parents pushing them at it. The stuff wasn't marketed to kids. It was on National Geographic or PBS, you know, late at night, something that we weren't watching. But he was so fascinated that why was there this mass interest across the country of all these children that were so fascinated with Titanic? And he can't explain it to this day, but we weren't alone. There was...
What a great story. I love hearing that.
Yeah. Because
my parents never even watched, like, they don't care about it. Like, they didn't care, but, you know, they never were interested in it.
Mine either. It was just like, oh, there's Tony. He knows everything about Titanic.
Do you feel like every, I just am curious, do you feel like every April 14th?
Oh,
I feel like a longing that I need to watch something.
I remember.
And I get upset when there's nothing on about it.
April 14th, it's like, I know that's the day. It's like, oh, it's Titanic Day. You
know? Yes! Maybe we were on there, Tony.
It makes me wonder about that. What museum was it that you went to that you had those feelings?
So I first went to the exhibit in Vegas.
Okay.
They have a Titanic exhibit there, but I went to that a couple times because I love Vegas, but I think three times out there. Then they had one at the Great Lakes Science Center in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. They brought the traveling exhibit and they had that set up there twice. I think I've gone to that there. Yeah. And then there was one in Florida that I went to as well. So I've been able to see a bunch of different things.
Interesting. I've been to the Vegas one, and I lived in Branson for a little while, so I've gone to that one too. And that's a very interesting location. I knew the manager there for a while when I lived in Branson, and she had sent me a picture, or not a video actually, on her phone of, they had a Christmas tree up at one of the areas, and the security camera, they got in there in the morning and it's pulled down, like the tree was on the ground. And I thought, well, maybe it tipped or something. I mean, it'd be odd for it to tip, but okay. The video shows it just violently being, like, pulled to the ground, like, from the top. You could just see it, like, someone just grabbed it and tugged it. And it's very bizarre. But I know other people have investigated there and have found things. My daughter, when we went in there, this was prior to it being on television as advertised as haunted or anything like that. She was super little. And I think she's much more sensitive than I am. But she was like 2.5, and there was one room she refused to go in. And she was having a good time. She's just like, you know, looking around at things. And then she's like, no, no. And it was a very peaceful area. There was nothing that was like spooky or anything about it. She just did not want to go through this door to go through this next room to get to the next part. And I mean, I had to pick her up and we had to go through it. And she hated it. And then we got to the next part and she was fine, but that one area she hated. And what I found interesting was a little bit later, I think it was Ghost Adventures that did an episode on it. And I normally don't watch any television shows, but I watched that one because I had been there. And in there was, in that exact same area, they were getting children's handprints showing up on the glass.
Yes, I know exactly what you're... Yeah, I remember that.
And that was the area. That's exactly where she refused to go. And she had such an aversion to it. I think any of those areas where you have objects that are attached or were around so much tragedy and death, it makes me wonder, do you think it's something... It is the actual people that are still attached to these things? Is it just some sort of energy that's swirling around? I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
I think it could be either. I mean, I honestly think it depends on the object. Sometimes you get an object that does have a spirit attached to it. And then other times it's that emotion, I think, that's attached to it. That, you know, if you've got that tragic story or that amazingly wonderful story, could be either, right? It's that level of emotion and energy that's tied to the object. But I do think it can be either.
Yeah. It's certainly a haunting thing that I've been obsessed with, and she's kind of getting into now as well. And it makes you wonder, what is attached to things? Is there something attached to things? Is it our collective energy that's creating mm-hmm. these sort of things? It's very interesting.
It would be interesting to get it would be interesting to have like an event with people that all had those same experiences as children.
Were you obsessed with Titanic as a child? We want to see you.
could you imagine? I'm wondering what the energy would be like there.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Matt and Laura. Big thank you to them for joining us. And thank you for supporting the program and keeping us on the air. We would not exist without it. Until next time, for all of us at The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Get ready. Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is almost here. It's Black Friday in July, and it's coming your way. For 5 days only, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Plus amazing doorbuster deals and free shipping on everything. Yes, everything right to your door. So mark your calendars. Wayfair's Black Friday in July sale starts July 24th. Shop everything home at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.